From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, and it's a Life Change Weekend. So many of you wrote notes to us and thanking us for the programs on the weekends, and we appreciate that. We really do. Weekend is different than the weekday Bible study. Monday through Friday, we do a Bible study. And we often take a passage of the Word of God and go through that. But what we do on the weekends is hear the story of people, what God's doing in their lives. And today I think it's going to be really unique. I often talk to people about moving and the trouble moving from one house to another. And I'm delighted to have on with us today the chairman of the board of our foundation, Dr. Jerry Traister, who's been a lifelong friend of mine. And Jerry, 24 times in 50 years. And Jerry, good to have you on. And how in the world did you pull that off?
It was not all of my doings. And that's really what I want to talk about today. We had several moves within that location, but as I count down through here, I think, brother, we had like seven major changing of responsibilities, wearing different hats. And that's really what I want to talk about. And, you know, I think oftentimes, you know, people get so frustrated about, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Should I do this or should I do that to get the will of God? Someone said the will of God is to live a holy life and then watch him guide you and lead you along the way. And sometimes I got really, as I look back on it, oh, my, what am I supposed to do? Way back in 1963, I came out of a home that was not Christian. Now, they had the high standards, do's and don'ts for us kids. But I went to a little Sunday school called the American Sunday School Union, and Dave Fisher came. He was a pastor and a graduate of the school we went to, a practical. And he came as a guest speaker between my junior and senior year in high school, and I was under conviction. When he finished his message, as I was walking out the door, the missionary said to me, Jerry, don't you want to get things straightened out with the Lord? And I burst into tears. And I have to remind people, don't get excited about people that come to know the Lord that they don't cry. Some of us do. Some of us weep. Some of us laugh. Some of us are poker face. I don't know about you. Maybe you can share from your perspective when you came to know the Lord. Was there a high emotion?
Well, Jerry, when I came to know the Lord, I was a child of seven, and my mother had sent me to Daily Vacation Bible School. And we had changed churches, and we were at this other church, and the church had things going on all the time. And frankly, I thought it was too much church. And here I am, 7 years of age. So my mother sent me to Daily Vacation Bible School. And I came home and she said, now, did you enjoy it? I said, no. And she said, okay, you don't have to go back. And Jerry, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. But then she said, we'll have Bible school right here at home. And I said, basically, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, I'll teach you. I said, you know, I'd rather go back to church. But that was the day she took me on the back porch of my house. One thing I really understood about what she told me was I was a sinner. She kept saying that over and over again. And that's what brought me to Christ. There were no tears, but there were a lot of emotion. I think the program today, Jerry, is going to help us when we look back at your life, what God did in your life and these changes. And there's some of you listening into the program right now, and you're going through change in life. Maybe you're moving from house to house. Some of you may be going to the mission field. Some of you may be going on a short-term mission trip. Some of you may be thinking about getting married. Some guy may be thinking, I want to give her the ring soon. And there's a lot of change involved in all of this. So I think this is going to be very helpful. I know I've watched your life, Jerry, how the Lord has led you, and you've been such an example of following the Lord. So you have seven areas. Give us one of those areas you're talking about.
Well, the first, of course, was after I came to know the Lord, I had a hunger for the Word. And so Dave, Pastor Fisher, suggested that I go to practical Bible training school. Now, I'm a country boy, timid, shy, very low self-esteem. And he said, you need to go there for 3 years. And I thought, oh, my, I could never do that. But God's providence, I did go. And I think there's no doubt about it. Those 3 years were foundational for my spiritual life. I remember Mrs. Elliott, she was our teacher for evangelism, and we had to memorize scripture, and I was slow at that, but it had to be word perfect. So the value of being in the scriptures, and then my involvement, I remember, again, this is the providence of God. Mrs. Robb, who was the, her husband was the president, she came to me and said, would you be the student director of our release time program? I didn't even know what the release time was. I knew some that our student body would go out on certain days and teach Bible, but it was referred to as release time. So I reluctantly said yes. And then, as you know, I was elected as class president, and I was so timid again. God was using all of that to shape me for the days ahead. And then graduation came. Now what am I going to do? And you know, again, you found your bride there. And it was in my inner heart, it bothered me that I did not have a companion for life when I left. I was single, and that bothered me. But then after persistence from Reba Miller of my senior year, she came up to Davis and asked who was in charge. And it was over the Easter weekend, and I chose not to go home and volunteered to cover the office, cover the front desk. She came in and said, who's in charge here? And I said, well, I am. How may I help you? What do you know about release time? Well, she had no idea that I was the student director. Again, the providence of God. And then I was reluctant, but finally said yes, that I would move to Chambersburg for a couple of weeks to help with a camp over at Rhodes Grove. Well, I wound up staying there for 17 years. But it's interesting. She said, after I said I felt I was supposed to be there, she said, ask the Lord to give you scripture. And you probably have heard this. I did ask the Lord to give me scripture. We can't demand that, but oftentimes the Lord will yield over to us and give us that desire of our heart so that we can settle in. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, and it says, Paul's talking, and he said, I entreat thee also, who true yoke fellow, help those women. And when he gave that to me, it was like it was lit up in neon lights, and I held on to that. And at that point, we had two or three ladies helping in release time. And it was my job to help those ladies. That's what I took from that scripture. Well, 17 years later, when my wife and I moved on down to Tennessee, we had 2,500 boys and girls in release time and 500 volunteers every week. And the bulk of those, Dino, of course, as you know, were ladies, were women. Help yeah. those women. Yeah. It's just so refreshing if we're willing to step out. What God will do during that willingness on our part. While I was here, Marie and I was married, had two girls, and then it was time to move from there. And I don't know if you have any comments on that whole.
Well, yeah, I do. I do, Jerry. And by the way, listeners, you're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you with my good friend Jerry Traister, chairman of the board of our foundation and ministry. And Jerry is telling you a little bit about his life. Chambersburg, by the way, for our listeners to know out there, is a town in Pennsylvania. Beautiful, beautiful town. One writer once called it the mid-America kind of sleepy town. And that was Dr. Elmer Towns who said that in writing very positively about that town. Great place to raise children. You mentioned you had children there. But it was interesting also, Jerry, that when you were there, there was a church that became available, and you recommended my name there. And you know, you and I met at the college, and now I end up going to Chambersburg for 25 years as a pastor about the providence of God. I guess, you know, Jerry, as you hear your testimony, it stirs something in all of us about God's providence, what he is doing. We could go as far as to say his sovereignty. I was with some people just a few days ago, and an attorney was there who has sat under my ministry, and she said this. She said, you know, this will all work out. And I looked at her and she said, I've learned that. She said, from you, you've taught us that. And I was the one at that table struggling with how this was going to work out. And it's a lesson we all need to learn. It works out. And you had an amazing ministry in Chambersburg. But then God kind of led you on to other things. So tell us about some of those other things.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tell us about those other things.
Well, before we do that, I did not mention while we were there in Chambersburg, I was the director of the Release Time Program and area director for Children's Bible Ministry. And we ran out of room. We were renting a camp. And we ran out of room, and the man said, you can't have more than 100 students or the sewage treatment system will not work. Well, we had 3 weeks, and the 1 week I had 125, and he was right. The sewage treatment system did not work. So we started the process of looking to build a camp. And out of that came Camp Joyelle. And oh my, what God did. Three farmers in the area, they just happened to own land that joined. They just, each one of them just happened to be involved in Children's Bible Ministry. And again, God's providence. And I remember so well when that land was given. Oh my, that was exciting. And 4 months later, we had the dedication of Camp Joyelle. And that summer, we had, I believe there was a number of, I'm confident, a number of boys and girls that came to know Christ as Savior. And this past summer, that camp had 1,600 kids, their camping program. So God continues to bless. It was time for us to move on from 1984 to 1990. My wife and our two girls, we moved down to Tennessee to serve as the national director. And again, what scripture would God use? I did not feel adequate when I was asked to do that. But the scripture that the Lord gave me was out of John, the feeding of the 5,000. Dino, I was that little boy. I didn't have much to give. And that little boy gave what he had. And I felt, well, I'll give what I have. And I was reading in Our Daily Bread about a little boy that had taken piano lessons, and he was to give a recital. And when he got out on stage, the lights came on, and he was petrified. He was at the piano, and he could not move. And the master pianist came over and put his hands under the little boy's hands and around his shoulders, and he said, "You follow my direction." And they played, and the crowd just stood in awe of what he was doing. But I felt I was that little boy. I could not do it apart from the infilling of the Holy Spirit working in and through me. And it was exciting to see what God did do during that time. We were at a place called Wafloey, and oh my, from 1984 to 1990, 6 years, major struggles that took place. But God used all of that in preparation for days ahead. And then you invited me to come to Open Door Church. And I fought that. I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to be involved in ministry outside the church. I had three choices: go back to Joyelle, stay where I was as national director, or accept your invitation to go to the church. And I remember we went on a little retreat, my wife and I, with the goal in mind of attempting to find out the will of God for us. And we left there after that retreat confident that we were to go back to Joyelle to finish the task. And when we got back down to Wafloey the next day, I got a phone call that at Joyelle, the man that was second in command asked if he could be considered as a director. And I told Marie, that's not the place to go. We'll cause division. People will be loyal to him, they'll be loyal to us, and we'll not get anything done. So that was, removed ourselves from Joyelle, and the obvious came then that I was to serve with you at Open Door Church. I remember the first day or two I got there, you called me in and said, good to have you here, but I might be leaving, and you might want to talk about that. That just drove me up the wall. I said, I can't believe this. You had asked me a number of times to serve with you, but it never seemed to work. And then finally, the Lord worked it out, and then you said, I might be leaving. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, Jerry. You know, the story you told about the piano player is really brilliant, because it does remind us of the sovereign hand of God, how he leads and how he directs. Yeah, I was at the church for 25 years total, and toward the end of my ministry there, and I guess the last 3 to 5 years, there was a calling in my life to go to a larger population, and eventually that happened. It didn't happen then when you and I talked, but I think it was like 4 or 5 years later that actually took place. But in my life, it was this calling of God to another area. And you remember well, the Open Door Church was such a dynamic place.
Oh,
and
my, yes.
Most of my friends said to me, why would you ever leave there? Well, if God is calling, you got to do what God's calling you to do. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there right now listening into this program, and you're thinking about God's leading in your life, and you're hearing Jerry's testimony. I know it's touching your heart like it's touching my heart. And I want to say to you that the experience that Jerry is sharing with you is how God dealt with him. He'll deal differently with you, but it's the same God dealing with things. And
amen.
One of the things,
amen,
Jerry, I noticed in your testimony is that all of a sudden there's something that happens, like the phone call that happens, and somebody else is interested in that position, and you tell your wife, okay, this is God's working. And again, I go back to my little meeting I had the other day with a group of people, and the lawyer friend of mine was there, and she said she had learned from me, because I had taught in the book of Esther in the church she was at, of how God works. And she says, don't remember, this is what God does. And that truth really sustains the standard. We can easily get frustrated with what's going on. And I'm sure that was frustrating to you when I said, you know, yeah, I'm thinking about something else here. And I wanted you to know that, you know, this is how God was leading. But you know, when I left there, Jerry, it was interesting. And again, it was several years later that you really were the key guy. If I remember correctly, from the time that I left the church and went on to the new ministry God had called me to do, it was a while before the new pastor came. I don't think anybody, I knew one family that left, but we had hundreds of families. Nobody left. And part of it was your stability there as part of that team. They knew you, they loved you, and they respected you so much. And I think that was watching God's sovereignty work. Go ahead, yeah.
I've written down here two things that impressed me or that I was involved in. The first one, of course, on the church side, was to understand church life. That was my first involvement as a pastor. And I remember so well a number of people where you could count on them to pray for you. Now, they may not have been involved in the upfront, but they were behind the scenes praying. And I thought, wow, this is wonderful. And then every Wednesday night, the prayer time of prayer requests being given and watching God answer. And then you'd ask me to oversee the development program, which means raising money, getting money in to pay the bills at the Cumberland Valley Christian Day School. And I started, I heard about a program, Race for Education, and I want to make that happen. And I learned through that, Dino, that I wanted the whole loaf. And we had to buy the program to have the right to use it. You gave permission for us to do that. But there was some, as always there's some opposition. I wanted the whole loaf, but it took several years. Every year we increased what the guidelines were for that program. And by the time we were finished, we had the entire program up and running, and God still uses that today. They still have Race for Education. So I learned that don't get too excited about not getting everything you want. Be sensitive to the needs of others and not to hurt people as you're moving forward. So it was a rich, rich experience for me. And as you know, from there, I was asked to go back to CBM, Children's Bible Ministry, and that was 2000. That was a struggle. What should we do? Again, it was more of the evidence of what was going on both sides, to stay or to go, that guided me. The Lord doesn't always, and you know this, the Lord doesn't always say, here's the scripture that says you're to go. Sometimes it's a step of faith. Sometimes it's circumstances that it's obvious what to do. Sometimes it's because of what someone said to us. Varies from time to time. So you can't make a blanket rule that God will always give us scripture. He doesn't have to do that. He's sovereign. So we trusted him that we were to move back into CBM, and we did that, and that was an exciting time. From 2000 to 2011, I became the national director. We moved the headquarters from Wofloe over to Townsend, Tennessee, which is near Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge area. And oh my, I could not, it's called Tekalichi Retreat Center, and the first thing I wanted to do was to change the name. I couldn't pronounce it. And then it was so far back in the mountains that people will never know how to get there. But then again, as God leads, I discovered that right below the retreat center is a gigantic business of called the Takalichi Caverns, and they have these humongous billboards in Townsend and in the Pigeon Forge area and all of those areas, and that they would tell you how to get there. So we would advertise and say, just follow the signs to Takalichi Caverns, and the next blacktop road is us. And so it's amazing how the Lord worked. And we had some phenomenal things that took place there. Probably the biggest thing was watching God provide. Right after we got there, my wife became the innkeeper, and the Lever Union people told her, we are out of room. We have just these 10 bedrooms, and our family's growing. We need more room. And she said, well, we're planning to build a lodge on up in the mountain. And they said, well, book us for it. We want to use it next year, July 4th. And so she came to me and said, is it all right? We had talked about doing this, and we had some money set aside for it. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So she put it on the books, and then I had the funding of going around to different churches saying, my wife booked the use of a cabin 1 year out that does not exist. And we all chuckled, of course, but then we said, would you help us to build it? And oh my, we had volunteers coming in, and the stories that I could tell of God's providence, God's provision, and his protection during all of that time. So 1 year later, on July the 4th, that morning, the cleaning ladies were up at that building, running the vacuum sweeper and making the beds for the first group that would be coming in. At 3 o'clock, the Lever Union arrived, and some months later, we had a dedication, and we sang, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And I know from your side, you have seen God do that in some phenomenal ways.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, as I listen to your talk here, and our listeners are listening, you know, we think of Philippians 4:3, we think of feeding of the 5,000. We think of your wife saying, hey, by the way, I just booked something here. and you begin to look at the sovereign working of God. It reminds me of an old song, in shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, some through the fire, some through the flood, but all by way of the blood. And so there's somebody listening into the program right now, Jerry, and they're listening to your story, and they're probably struggling right now. They're just struggling with something. They're going through maybe a change. Maybe they're thinking, should I marry her? Should I not marry her? Should I marry him? Should I not marry him?
Yep.
Should I go to this church? There's a church calling me. Remember when I came to the Open Door, Jerry, we were weeks looking for somebody to call us, and then six churches at one time called and said, we're interested in talking to you. And my wife said, well, where are we going to go? And so, you know, it's how does God do that? We've got just maybe a couple minutes left here, Jerry. So just give some help to our listeners about, here's Philippians 4:3, here's the feeding of the 5,000, here's your wife saying these people want to be here next year. What should they look for? Give us some pointers.
Well, Jonas Miller, now with the Lord, said there's three or four light posts along the way that may help you in determining the will of God. And when those light posts are lined up, that you only see one as you look across them. And the first one was, what's the Lord saying from the scripture? Is he saying anything from the scriptures? What are godly people saying about the possibility of you doing this or that? And then not only the scripture, but godly people, circumstances. How are the circumstances lining up with this whole situation? And then the fourth one would be peace. Peace. Do you have peace in a particular concern, if you're thinking of doing this or that? And as you concentrate on the one, is there a peace that comes? And if you look down through those lights, when they're all lined up, it's amazing. Yes, this is where I'm to go.
That's excellent.
I'm at peace.
Yeah, that's excellent. And Jerry, and I would say, I know you would agree with this, that's excellent advice. And sometimes there are hard decisions we have to make along that way. But when you see things lined up, when you see that kind of thing happening, it's been good. Jerry, it's been great having you on today. This has been so helpful, I know, to our listeners. Maybe later on we can come back and kind of pick up this story a little bit. But the principles that you shared, I would say to you, are life-changing principles. That's what our broadcast is about. It's about life change. Things will help change our lives. And so I think from this program, we're going to remember Philippians 4:3. We're going to remember the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to remember your wife and what she said to you. It kind of motivated you to move on that decision. And I like the illustration Jonas Miller gave, which is so helpful. And it's good to hear from those who have gone down the road and done it. And Jerry, you've done that. So thanks so much. And don't forget, my friend, as you follow God's sovereign work, that truly is a life-changing experience.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. That's DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.